right, so this hour right now is wide open. This would be the hour to try to get through. Next hour, I've got a couple of interviews. So this is the hour to try to get through, either by phone or by social media or by email. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. So if you want to get through, go ahead and call 1-800-636-8686. I've been referencing the fact that we have some new listeners, and I know this to be true because we've got some new stations. So if you're kind of laying out and trying to figure out whether or not you're about this or you like this or you hate this or you don't know what's going on, I get it. That's fine. But if you're ready to jump on in, go right ahead and do that. That's your phone number. Hit me up on Twitter. If it's a good tweet, we will read it on the air. I read lots of tweets on the air. If it's an exceptional tweet, I will retweet it. And I've got more than a million followers. That's not a bad deal, right? If you have a few hundred followers and I retweet you to over a million followers, do the math. There is a multiplier effect in play. This is why you want to tweet at the program. Now, if you tweet the same tired joke over and over and over again, it's not going to get read, and it definitely will not get retweeted. Or you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up next hour, Cliff Floyd, former MLB-er, now with the MLB Network, joins us. Jonathan Jones, a colleague of mine at CBS, will be talking some NFL with us. Why don't we talk about the other series? Let's talk some ALCS. Now, if you want to sum up the night for the Boston Red Sox last night, I think the best way to do it, I mean, I could do it myself, but not nearly as well as Red Sox starter Chris Sale did.
I was good for five and I sucked for one.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's a good soundbite. That's a
good for five and I sucked for one.
I would say, hey, have a take, don't suck. That's a good take that did not suck. I was good for five, and I sucked for one.
I was good for five, and I sucked for one.
It's a good quote. It's a strong quote. In fact, my man, Chris Sale, actually had two strong quotes.
Left my nuts out there on that mound tonight. That's for damn sure.
I'll tell you what. Those are two of my favorite quotes of the year. I was good for five, and I sucked for one. And I left my nuts out on that mound tonight. That's for damn sure.
Left my nuts out there on that mound tonight. That's for damn sure.
That is for damn sure. Beautifully said, Christopher. I don't know that I've heard an athlete go with a nut blast or drop a nut blast on the universe since Corey Crawford reinvented the victory parade speech.
All right, Chicago! Biggest bunch of beauties in the league. F***ing work their nuts off for this trophy. Woo! No one will ever take this away from us. We're the champs.
Man, that gets so much better with time. That ages so well. That is the gold standard. If the standard is the standard, that is your standard right there. If you've got a possibly... Now, I can't be sure, but a possibly inebriated, possibly bleep-faced goalie screaming at a victory parade about how the biggest bunch of beauties in the league bleeping worked their nuts off, that's guaranteed to be a good thing.
Biggest bunch of beauties in the league f***ing worked their nuts off for this trophy.
What an incredible line. Biggest bunch of beauties in this league work their bleeping nuts off for this trophy.
Biggest bunch of beauties in the league work their nuts off for this trophy.
Let's just go ahead and assume you can put that up on the wall and that's never come down. Nobody will ever do better in a victory parade speech than that. That guy reinvented the entire genre with that. Now, all of that said, if you're a starting pitcher and you're talking about leaving your nuts out on the mound, either things went really well or really badly. And in the case of Sale, it was the latter. If he left his nuts on the mound last night, they got smashed. They got stomped. There was...
Smash, smash, smash.
I'll be, man. How many cups of coffee, yo?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was your Dan Alvarez first pitch swinging to lead off the second.
And Alvarez hits it well and hits it deep to left field. And you can kiss that one goodbye. Into the monster seats for Yordan. And it's 1-0 Astros.
Boy, a shot the other way for Alvarez. Big number 44 puts the Astros on top. An opposite field blast.
Right. I'm pretty sure Sale left that nut. That ball hanging over the plate in a bad spot. And Alvarez did go oppo over the wall with it. Not ideal. Not ideal. And the problem is, that was one of the five innings where Sale was good. Then came the one where he sucked. Again, his words, not mine. He starts that with a walk. A runner reaches on an error, and guess who's coming up again? Yordan Alvarez, the nut smasher. The guy who already had a home run and a single off Sale last night. Now, again, here's where the nerds start to nerd. I'm not going to say that the decision to let Sale go through the Astros order for a third time was a terrible decision. Nor am I going to say that letting him face Alvarez for a third time was the worst idea ever. Instead, I'll just say, well, here's what happened.
And the batter is Yordan Alvarez.
And that one's down the line into left. What a night. Alvarez has delivered again. Two more runs will score off his bat. He's driven in all three, and it's 3-0 Astros here in the sixth.
I guess what I am going to say is, if you're going to leave your nuts around the mound, best not to do it when Alvarez is around.
Left my nuts out there on that mound tonight, that's for damn sure.
I mean, I respect it, Chris. I respect you owning it, but you don't want to do it. You do not want to leave your nuts around the mound with Alvarez around, because he'll make you pay. And then the Astros just kept piling on. It was 9-1 when they were done crushing the ball in Boston's junk. Meanwhile, Houston, a team that had terrible starting pitching in this series, bounced right back on the mound. With Valdez pitching a perfect game through four, a shutout through six, and then became the first pitcher in this postseason to actually go eight innings. Like, you want to talk about a throwback. You want to talk old school. Eight innings, three hits, one run, 93 pitches. That's a hell of a day at the office. And that's exactly what Houston needed. Exactly the kind of performance that makes the old schoolers cry and complain and talk about how, yo, back in my day, starting pitchers didn't have pitch counts. Bob Gibson was out there on a broken stick. Don Drysdale once had 1,000 pitches in one game. Yeah, no, he didn't. Yeah, I understand. Back in your day, Pops, things were different. Right. Starters did not come out of the bullpen back in your day. Yeah, I get it also. Back in your day, guys probably were lighting up cigarettes during games. Right? Guys were probably smoking on the bench between at-bats. I get it, Pops. The game has changed. The world has changed. Everything's different now, because back in your day, every guy coming to the mound was not throwing high 90s with movement and triple digits on the block. Back in your day, Pops, they were not facing hitters who were studying film of at-bats during the game, checking out tendencies, and then crushing pitchers on the third time through the order. Back in your day, baseball players actually had to get a second job in the offseason. For these guys, there is no offseason. They just keep working. They don't come to spring training in order to get in shape. They're already in shape when they get there. It's a different game now, Pops. Get used to it. So what that means is the managers and analytics departments are going to make different decisions. You know, like the one to let Sale pitch to Alvarez, which happened a boomerang in a horrible way. Or like the one to use a starter out of the pen the night before, which also boomeranged in a horrible way. In fact, pretty much everything that could go wrong has gone wrong for Boston in the last two games. When the Red Sox came in, they were crushing the ball. They were murdering the ball. I mean, like, at a historic rate. They were on a record pace in games two and three. They scored three runs in the last two games, right? Let me make that point one more time. They were on a record pace going into games two and three. And then in the last couple of games, they've been outscored 18-3. And the moment the Astros start killing it at the plate, the way they have the last two nights, is the very moment people start to think and say that they're still cheating. And then they start combing video, listening for trash cans being thumped or strange whistles before pitches. It happened in the ALDS when they got over on Chicago, and it's probably happening right about now. Listen, I don't really know what is or isn't happening. I don't know if Houston is or isn't cheating. I know they're on the road, and it would seem to me it would be much tougher to rip signs on the road. But I also know that Houston was busted for cheating before. And part of the legacy of that is anytime you have success, people are going to say that you're still cheating. It's like getting caught in a lie. If somebody catches you in a lie, they will always wonder going forward, yeah, but is he telling me the truth now? Same thing with cheaters. I don't know if they are, and I don't know if they aren't. I just know that Red Sox fan had the duck boats all shined up and revved up and ready to roll, only to have to head back to Houston to try to live and fight another day with those alleged cheaters. Ice up, dudes.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Ice up, dudes. You got smashed nuts right now. Those are two amazing quotes by Sale. I love this guy.
Left my nuts out there on that mound tonight. That's for damn sure.
Biggest bunch of beauties in the league. Worked their nuts off for this trophy.
What's better than a drunk goaltender at a victory parade? Nothing. Find me, and there have been some amazing moments at victory parades. Find me a better moment than that. And that's not even about who said it or in what sport or in what town. Find me a better. I challenge you. I'm just going to go, you know, hot take, lazy guy, put my legs up. I challenge you. Find me a better moment in a victory parade in any sport, in any year, in any town than that one. You won't be able to. Not even the Mad Dog. And this is a big Mad Dog house, but not even the Mad Dog. Good, but not that good. Red Sox fans, I know I've got listeners in Boston. What's up, man? How you feeling now? It's amazing. When this thing goes, it goes fast. When it changes quickly.
Glory,
again.
Gloria,
hey, Holly, what's up?
Gloria, Gloria, I think I got your number. Gloria.
That sniper was amazing. Holly, still not in the crease. Well, maybe he was. Listen, what I'm talking about, when things change, they change quickly. The Dodgers were DOA and five outs away from being down 3-0. Then they come back, they win that game, and of all guys to turn on one was Cody Bellinger. Then all of a sudden, it's 2-1, and it's like, that's it? We will all say, where the hell were we when that happened? Now it barely even happened. Now it didn't even happen. Because now they're down 3-1, and they're looking at a bullpen game themselves. And I hate to say this, but you know who's going to have to wear it? And it's not going to be his fault. My guy, Dave Roberts. Everybody will be coming for him. When you know for a fact he's not making all these decisions in a vacuum. He's not, but he'll wear it. Which won't be fair. And give some credit, some bleeping credit to the Braves, man. They were something else last night. I've got Cliff Floyd coming up at the top of hour number three. Jonathan Jones coming up next hour. Hey, Rome. Left my nuts out there as well. Signed Paul's dog after his last trip to the vet.
Left my nuts out there on that mound tonight. That's for damn sure.
Why do I have a feeling that Paul's dog is going to call and respond to that? Susie from Wisco. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Son Rit, choosing between Almond Joy and a Mounds bar for breakfast. I don't know, but I will tell you one thing about Rit. I went by his office yesterday, and I looked at it, and on his desk was, is that, are those things like $10 million bar or a $10,000 bar? 100 grand, whatever the currency is, 100 grand. It was a big-ass candy bar. I don't know, man, like, I'm not saying that I don't eat candy, because that'd be just a bold-faced lie. But I can tell you this. I don't eat candy at work. You would never see a candy bar on my desk. Ritz got that thing front and center. Like, he's just trolling us.
Mm.
So what's it going to be? Ike, Almond Joy or Mounds? All right, that's a reason to go, Ritt.
They suck to the power of a thousand sucks.
He just said, quote, they're both awful. And I said, how can you say that, dude? You're like a sugar addict. He said, quote, coconut. Screw coconut. Coconut is a reason to go. Ritt, not only are you so weird about how much sugar you eat, you're so weird about what sugar you will and will not eat. Jelly beans, oh, hell no. Coconut, oh, hell no.
Jelly beans suck.
And so apparently do Mounds and Almond Joy.
Thank you.
Ken in SA, Rome, I left my nuts out there too. Sincerely, Reese McGuire.
Left my nuts out there on that mound tonight.
Do I got to put a moratorium on Reese McGuire? Is that really necessary? Dude's got nothing to do with anything here. Wells, quote, is this Kevin Byard or Dame Lillard? War mid-interview fire alarms.
We have, like, the fire alarms going off in our facility, so I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, at the end of the day, just a big stop, you know. Talking about resilience, being a resilient bunch of guys on the team. Actually, the previous week, we got a big goal line stop in Jacksonville. So that was something that we reverted back to on the field.
All right, so that happened earlier. Dame didn't actually have a fire alarm going off. He just had that really annoying beep that lets you know that 9-volt, which has been in there for a few years, is dying.
You were a bit overlooked coming out of high school. You played your college ball at Weber State. A little bit off the radar coming into last season, and then you just crushed it.
Of course, people will expect more from me this year because of last season. And I expect more from myself.
We're critical of was your defense. When you first heard
that
criticism, what did you think about
that? That's a Thursday beef. The fire alarm that has the 9-volt that's dying and beeping. Maybe it's just me, but you ever have trouble when you try to unscrew the fire alarm from that ceiling with the cottage cheese and you're just kind of up there and you're fighting it and all the cottage cheese is falling down? And it's always that 9-volt. Then when you rip that thing out, that little plastic attachment gets ripped out too. Never an easy thing. At least not for me. Now, we've had actual fire alarms ourselves go off during this show.
We will be conducting a test of the fire life safety system. Please ignore all lights and alarms that you may see or hear. I repeat, this is only a test of the fire life safety system. Please ignore all lights and alarms that you may see or hear.
Oh, don't worry. I was going to. I'm supposed to ignore that? Please ignore that? Pay no attention to the alarm. Ignore that. I mean, this has been going on. Understand, I work in this incredible building. I work in a beautiful high-rise building in Southern California with a beautiful view of the surrounding community. I mean, it's state-of-the-art. The security is incredible. The building is incredible. I have a state-of-the-art studio.
All right, so that does not happen in the hood where we are right now. But back in the high-rise a few years back, we worked in this absolutely gorgeous high-rise building in Newport Beach. Extremely expensive, beautiful. It's where Left buzzed our tower. But that was going off one day during the show. And it would go on for like 5 minutes. This is not an emergency. This is just a drill. This is just a rehearsal. But that's how loud that was on air. Try to take a telephone call with that going on. Try to do an interview. In Detroit, you're first up. Nice to have you on the show, Jeff. What's going on? How are you?
Not too bad, Jimbo. How's it going today?
It's great. How about you?
Not too bad. Here, I'm sitting here in Michigan thinking about what you asked about the Ohio State.
All right, so this is not something we conjured up. This is not Alvin doing what Alvin does and producing that up. That was actually how that sounded. That was actually what we dealt with that day.
Time a Big Ten team goes out to California for a big game like this, they
credit to this
smoked.
Guy. He doesn't even give a damn. He's just rolling right through
life
it.
Shot right now. USC 34.
Jeff, I can barely hear you. I'm going to have to cut you loose.
Why? So, no, we've never had that happen here. We have gigantic cockroaches here and a multitude of other issues, but we've never had a fire alarm go off. But then again, you got to admit that cockroach issue led to one of the great, great moments in the history of this program, at least in this building.
where if there's a big enough roach, I say, hey, Alvin, dude, is there another one? Yes, Alvin, there is. Alvin, literally, really quickly to reset this. Alvin, we had our biggest roach today. This thing was maybe a foot long. Or that's an exaggeration. Maybe 9 inches long. It was gigantic. I've seen dogs smaller than this cockroach in my office. Alvin goes, oh, dude. He gets a vanilla, I would say a vanilla, a manila envelope or folder, and he tries to drop it on Rit. Rit, old man Rit, this is not his first picnic or rodeo. He's seen this before. He's like, get out of here, man. Do not come into my office. He's like, dude, it's an office, an inner office memo. You need to see this.
This is not
Alvin,
cool.
Get out of here. So then he goes to the new guy, Chalk. He's like, dude, here's an inner office memo. And the new guy's just all like, oh, excited. Like, oh, okay, great. Alvin drops the manila envelope with the gigantic dead roach on his desk. And Chalk fires it open like the new earnest guy that he is. No! Alvin's like, dude, that's funny.
No!
It was. Anyway, hey, Wells. Nice job, Wells. You see, Wells, you pulled something that made it better, that set me up for some audio that I had forgotten about. Good job, Wells.
Good job.
When we return, I'm still looking for the right phone call to set this thing up and get us going. I talked about the Dodgers, the Braves. I talked about the Red Sox, the Astros. I want to get into the Knicks. If I'm going to go in and crack these guys every time they embarrass themselves and their town and the league, when they do something well, I've got to give them some credit. And I will. Knick basketball is going to be my next topic. When you run a growing business, no 2 days are the same. One day you are hiring employees. The next, you're launching a website. Dell Technologies Advisors understands your challenges, and they are here with the right Windows PC and tech solutions so you can evolve your business and stop at nothing for your customers. So call an advisor today, 877-ASK-DELL. It's a start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. Once again, 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I understand that having done this as long as I have, and because this show is different and unique and the callers are different and unique, we have a ton of archived sound drops that are different. And then because I've done this so long, we've accumulated so much sound. Now, what I said to you was, I challenge any of you to find a greater victory parade speech than the one I played for you. I didn't ask you to come up with the best interruption during an interview or call ever. However, some of you are. Like this person, at not this again 12, writes, it's Bridget and everyone else. Funniest interruption ever. Chiz in the 916. Hey, John, are you playing the drums or is somebody else?
Jim, forgive my daughter in the background.
Yeah, I thought somebody was playing the drums.
That's my daughter.
That's all right.
She's playing her older brother's drums.
She's good. She's good.
She's talented.
Yeah, she has potential. I can hear it. Hey, John, will your daughter take requests?
I'm sorry. Wait 1 second.
Bridget! Stop.
I apologize.
That was John Feinstein back in the day. You know what's funny to me is Nerdy Chalk just thinks this stuff's hilarious because he hasn't been through it before. Like, this is all new to Chalk. Chalk's like, wow, that's funny, man. Yeah, I know, Chalk. It was the first 8,000 times I heard it. It was a great moment, though. Because John Feinstein is a brilliant guy and a great conversationalist. And, you know, he would come on the show quite a bit. He would host the show back in the day. And one day we're just talking about whatever we're talking about, whatever book he had out. And it was a good conversation. And Bridget is just banging away, man. Just beating the hell out of those drums. What a great parent moment. Like, haven't we all turned to our kids at one point like, Bridget! Rogan!
Are you playing the drums or is somebody else?
Jim, forgive my daughter in the background.
Do you know what that soundbite right there
that's
is almost
right.
20 years old.
She's good.
That was 2002.
She's talented.
Yeah, she has potential. I can hear it. Hey, John, will your daughter take requests?
I'm sorry. Wait 1 second, Jim.
Bridget! Bridget! Stop.
I apologize.
I wonder if that, if she parlayed that into something. Like, is she touring right now? Is Bridget, like, part of some major band? I don't know. You always wonder. I look at the kids. I see the kids that my kids hang out with, and you always wonder what's going to happen to these kids. What will they turn into? What will they morph into? And some of the ones that you think are like utter slacks end up doing extremely well. And then some, frankly, peak really early and are never what you think. Let's see here. All right, so Abigail in San Diego has become kind of a thing on the program because she's a really aggressive lady clone. Like, she's on the line. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it yesterday that at Romy's My Homie told me that Twitter suspended her? So I got to be careful. Like, I have my antenna up. I'm watching you, Abigail, in a good way. Like, I'm always eager to see what you see, but I know you're dangerous. She writes, Jimmers, why don't you drop some chocolate sauce on those roaches? That sugar addict Rit will definitely take care of business. Abigail in San Diego, war, it's the crunch that makes them good.
Eat it, Hud.
That's interesting. So, Rit, like, Alvin couldn't even get in your office with that roach, but how did you know it did not have chocolate on it? A chocolate roach. A chocolate cricket. And finally, it's saltier 2021. No days off chant is the greatest parade moment ever. No, it's not.
No.
I mean, it's good. It's good, except he meant it. The guys who are the recipients of that don't think that's the best chant ever because they know he means it. Why do you think that Nick Saban, and I kind of respect it at this point, why do you think that he looks so pained within 2 minutes of winning a national championship? Because he already knows how far behind he is in recruiting. No days off. All right, so when we return, I needed more time to talk about the Knicks, and I still want to do that. I also want your telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. I want to reset the conversation I had with Mitchell Schwartz. It was a blast. Former Brown in the game is trying to rehab from back surgery. He is a free agent, and we got into where he is in that rehab process and what his future looks like. I'm going to try and reset that for you, too. Before I do anything else, though, I have a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. All right, so you know how I oftentimes will say Wednesday is a really heavy day on the program. Wednesday is a busy day on the program, a good day on the program. That's true. That's true. Now, Wednesday, though, is a sports night. That's not necessarily the same thing. Generally, it can be pretty slow midweek, but not last night. Last night, there was so much going on. In fact, almost too much going on. You had to be real handy with the remote last night if you were going to maximize the entire experience, because you had Atlanta smashing LA. We talked about that. You had App State in Coastal Carolina getting it on. They went right down to the wire. And then you had the New York Knicks. The last time anybody saw the New York Knicks in a game that mattered, they were getting absolutely humiliated by Trae Young. Remember? Knicks fans had gotten themselves all worked up about the team last year, only to see Trae Young come into MSG and burn that place right to the ground. However, in their defense, and I say this with respect, there is no fan base like the New York Knicks fan base.
nearly a half a century, without a title, some of the most dysfunctional ownership and front offices that you could ever imagine, and yet the fans still act like they're the center of the NBA universe. Like, I almost have to respect it. And last night, I think I'd have to agree. Because Celtics-Knicks at the Garden last night was not just a great season opener. I mean, that literally was one of the best ever. One of the best all-time ever. Genuinely and completely bat-bleep crazy. And I'm not even talking about just Obi Toppin bringing down the house with this dunk.
Rebound inside, Langford blocked by Fournier. Fournier now rolls, Toppin in for the slam, and the Knicks have regained the lead. Timeout Boston.
I mean, say what you want about the Knicks fans, and you can say quite a bit, but there is no sound quite like Madison Square Garden when it explodes. I mean, I don't know any other building that sounds like that building when it's going off. It's unlike anything in sports. So when a visiting player runs a dagger through the Knicks, there's nothing like that sound either. And Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart did exactly that in the final seconds of regulation last night. Here's Brown down four with just seconds to go.
Brown comes free. Fournier on him. Throws up a long three-pointer. Oh, it's good! Jaylen Brown drills it with 5.3 remaining.
All right, so that made it a one-point game. Then Julius Randle hits a pair of clutch free throws to make it a three-point game. And then only the Knicks, could allow something like this to happen.
Out of Tatum. Tatum falls down, floats it ahead to Schroeder. Schroeder for Smart. He's got a look at the buzzer.
Oh.
Got it! Marcus Smart drills a three, and the Celtics have forced overtime on opening night.
Oh, heartbeat still. Give me my banana sandwich now. They always say Smart can't shoot, but damn it, when you need it, he's on point.
That, of course, would be Cedric Maxwell. I'm not sure what was better, the shot from Smart or the shots of Spike Lee, Dustin Hoffman, and the rest of the Garden. Like, Spike has seen it all, and yet he still looks stunned. Dustin, I don't even know what to make of him. Like, he looked confused, bemused, bewildered, something. But it was an amazing moment. Like, one of the most Knick moments ever, even for the Knicks. Like, they seem to go way out of their way to screw up every part of that play, and it was hilarious. But if you thought that was hilarious, just wait until you see overtime, because then it just got ridiculous. Brown for three.
Brown sets, fires, and hits a three.
Evan Fournier for three.
Fournier tries to even it up, and he does.
Fournier for three again.
Just 23 minutes.
When did Evan Fournier turn into Steph Curry and Reggie Miller combined? And he still wasn't done.
Fournier pucks it in. Evan Fournier, red hot in overtime.
I mean, now it's just completely ridiculous. Marcus Smart for three.
Back to Tatum, double team. Brown, extra pass, Smart, corner three. Got it.
R.J. Barrett for three.
Cross court to Barrett. Barrett tries a three. It's good.
Jason Tatum for three.
Robert Williams kicks it out. Tatum tries another one. Got it! Nobody's missing here in overtime.
Boy, what a ball game.
That's it. Four straight threes. Nobody could miss. The hell was going on there? Then we go to a second OT. If I was as gassed as I was just watching that game from home, I can't imagine how the dudes who were playing felt. They had to be dragging. And I mean dragging. Mitchell Robinson was barely able to make it up and down the floor. After the Knicks finally did win, Julius Randle could barely even conduct a post-game interview.
I can't wait to go home and lay in the bed, I swear. I don't even know if I'm hungry enough to eat. I'm so tired to play. I don't know what I played, but first game back, whew, goodness, I'm tired. But we got it done. We got it done.
Julius, I hear you, my man. I was watching the game, and I could not wait to lay in a bed. I wasn't sure if I was hungry enough to eat either. I mean, so easy to clown the Knicks and their fans, especially after the team dropped that really weird Dune-inspired graphic on social media that made no sense whatsoever. But last night was a great, great Garden moment. For the last few years, the only great Garden moments have involved the Big East Tournament or the Westminster Kennel Club dog show or some visiting player coming in and lighting the Knicks on fire. Last night, though, it was about the Celtics and the Knicks actually won. I gotta admit, I'm kind of shocked. I'm shocked because normally after blowing a lead at the end of regulation the way they did, they lose that game. There's no way they win that game. And then they look up into the rafters and they wonder why the Billy Joel banner is more significant than any of the Knicks basketball banners from the past 45 years. These guys are walking around looking up at the rafters and all they see is BJ. But not last night. Not last night. Last night, the Knicks found a way to win. They didn't stagger off the floor and look up into the rafters and see Billy Joel jumping a curb and driving into somebody's house. No. The Knicks found a way to finish. Man, they were able to grind it out. They didn't go into the tank when they went into OT. They didn't quit. They won. And for those of you who like to clown and mock the owner, including yours truly, for at least one night, we've got to keep that in our back pocket. For at least one night, we have to wear it because they showed some grit. They did finish. They actually left us no choice but to put some respect on them. So if I'm cracking them every time they have a bad night, I have to hype them when they have a good night. And last night was the best night in the Garden in a long time, at least from a basketball standpoint. It was incredible. Question now is, can they start to stack those nights? Is that a one-off, or are we talking about a team finding its new normal? Because the old normal was embarrassing, unwatchable, laughable basketball. Time will tell. But in the meantime, have yourself a day, Knicks fan. Hell, have yourself a week, because it's probably been years since you felt that feeling. Man, I got to admit, it kind of feels good. Kind of set me free. It feels kind of nice to do a positive Knicks take. It feels pretty damn good to do a Knicks take and not have to tag it and remind everyone about this bullcrap.
Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain. With the rain in Shambhala. Wash away my sorrow. Wash away my shame. With the rain in Shambhala.
I want my money back. I paid good money for this. You think you feel bad? How about the Knicks fans that paid good money to get in that house and watch basketball? Anyway, it's just so good not to have to do that. I'm so glad that I could do a Knicks take and not have to play this bullcrap. Or Reese said about how he throws out a legendary figure from yesteryear, or a fan who's got a sign, or even worse, play some of that bullcrap music that he creates. Feels good not to have to do that. Shout out to the Knicks, man. What a great game that was. You see, I'm not here to hate. I'm here to just tell you what I see. If they keep doing that, I'll keep hyping them. I've got no agenda. My only agenda is to respond to what I see. And what I saw last night from the Knicks was an amazing game and an amazing moment in the Garden. Feels good, man. Good on you, Knicks fan. You earned it. You deserve it. And best of all, I'm just glad that I could get through an entire Knicks take without playing any of that bullcrap music from Dolan.
Wash away my troubles. Wash away my pain.
Why are you here? I thought to hear good music.
Why are you here? You're a fan of music and your hand hold up that side? Don't you think that that's a little negative?
Don't you think that's a little negative?
Anybody else think it's a little negative?
I'm not sure I've ever seen a richer guy with thinner skin. We're going to invite you to leave. At least he was nice about it. We're not going to kick you out, but we are going to invite you to leave.
Thank you. Goodbye.
We will not kick your ass out, but we will invite you to leave. Goodbye. Oh, all right, Mick Jagger. You got it, John Lennon. All right, we've come to the end of hour number two. Like I said, it felt good not to have to play that bullcrap. Way to go, Knicks. Great game last night. Amazing game. What a great opener. Go, New York, go. When we return, Cliff Floyd from MLB Network joins us. Jonathan Jones also next hour. I'm going to try and reset my episode 194 of the Jim Rome podcast with Mitchell Schwartz. That's good stuff, too. And I've got to get into TNF, Broncos, Browns, all of that still ahead.